And one thing as we enter into this, and you're going to put my points up on there already, Justin, you're going to put them up there, next one, is organization is critical. Having the right order, eliminating clutter, mental clutter as well as physical clutter, is essential to learning, winning, and productivity. And so many of you that I interact with all the time, many times you're amazed that I am on you about a project that I've given you. And the whole reason I am is because I have set up a process, a way I deal with things. I handle multiple tasks all the time. And there's a whole lot of things on my plate. And if you can understand what I have on my plate, and yet I'm able to dialogue with you on your individual thing, you have to respect that I have a process by which I do it. And if you'll adopt same process and you have even less on your plate, you ought to be able to handle what you're doing with ease. Let me tell you the responsibility that your pastor has. Sermon preparation and sermon delivery. And I have to do that at least 3 and sometimes 5 times a week. Vision mapping and direction. Things don't just happen, they must be. We're not to that point yet. Things don't just happen, they must be planned. Then there's the departmental project oversight. I'm dialoguing with construction, both in the planning stage, architectural phase, as well as in the construction part. The corporate legal matters. Even though Malachi's over there by himself, he's fighting big wars. You have no idea of how necessary his role is. And yet I interact with him. Yeah, you can give him a hand clap. Yeah. No. No, serious. Mark their files. No, serious. I guess that was one of the, and I'll just kind of pause here. That was one of the wisest moves we ever made, bring us an attorney on staff. But I'm interacting with him all the time. Then there's strategic planning. Planning things happen that are going to happen in the future in the ministry, as well as with special projects. The most of the publications that you see, most of the flyers and all that kind of thing, and brochures, I do the initial thumbnail. Most people didn't know that. Got it? That right, Ms. Allison?
Yes, sir.
Got it? I do all of that initial thing. Whenever you see a brochure, 99% of the time, I drafted that brochure. I did the initial setup for it, which, I'm believing now since Miss Allison has come back home and Miss Precious is on staff with us, amen, that I won't have to do as much of it as I have. Television scripting. We do our commercials and all that kind of stuff we do. I don't write the commercials, praise the Lord. They do a good job at writing their commercials. You got it? They do a good job at that. Dealing with the financial plan. Dr. Bridget does the bulk of it, but we have to talk and dialogue. And the wonderful finance department and the accounting department, they interact with me on all kinds of things. There's the employee drama matters. Any matter that involves an employee, I'm privy to it. You got it? If they're gonna fire somebody, then I gotta pass by me. I got to know it. I got to know about it, and I always make sure they've dealt with the facts. If it's something that could be something that's going to be that could cause us some legal problems, we'll run it by Malachi, and then we have a consulting attorney, a firm, an employee firm that we run our stuff by. It protects you, and that's what you have to understand. If they sue us, and we have to pay, and we have to pay them and don't have the money to pay you, they sued you. You follow me? So we do that. Then, of course, there's the pastor ministry that goes on. AIM is a large... a large organization now, and I'm constantly talking to pastors and giving them counseling. Well, how am I able to do this? And then on the road, going on the road, how am I able to do this and yet be able to call you and remind you of a project that you missed? With all of this, I can still call you and dialogue with you intelligently on a project that you've missed. That's because I am committed to process. I'm organized, and I have a process by which I do things. And because I do that, I'm never overwhelmed with it. You got it? And that's what I want to show you today, so that you can adopt a part of it or fine-tune what you're doing, so that we will not have lack of follow-through, that we will communicate, that we will stay abreast of things. So when we do that, I mean, it'll take all the drama out of life. So we need tools and techniques because they make all the difference. Clutter is the biggest obstacle to performance. Clutter is the biggest obstacle to accurate thinking, winning, and performing. Now, mental clutter is eliminated by paper and pen. If you will learn just to use tools of paper and pen so you don't have to trust your memory, that's where you get in trouble, when you try to memorize everything. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to remember to do that. Wrong. Write it down. Even if you don't have an elaborate planner, you know, just a steno pad, something that you're going to refer to often. It can be very simple. But once you try to commit something to memory, you start mental clutter, because now you got to try to think about what you forgot. And you eliminate that just by learning to discipline yourself to write it down. And so many times I've interacted with managers who've dropped the ball because they didn't write it down. But I did. And that's why I could call them and say, okay, what's happening on this? And when they get quiet, already know. Already know. Got it? So I have to write it down, but not just write it down. Write it down on something that I'm going to look at all the time. So you don't have four or five steno pads. Well, I wrote some down on this day. No, if you're going to use a steno pad and not a planner, you use one steno pad until you fill that up. You follow me? So tools are the key. Physical clutter is eliminated by making a commitment to get organized. Amen. All right. Here's the law of organization. The law of organization says the orderly arrangement of things, thoughts, and tasks brings simplicity to life, eliminates stress, and sets the stage for progress and creativity. Did y'all get that? I don't think I have that as a dad. No. I wanted them to marinate that while they write that down. The law of organization. The orderly arrangement of things, thoughts, and tasks brings simplicity to life, eliminates stress, and sets the stage for progress and creativity. One more time for the Holy Ghost. The orderly arrangement of things, thoughts, and tasks brings simplicity to life, eliminates stress, and sets the stage for progress and creativity. So, let's first deal with organizing our thoughts. All right? All right. Now, when we think about organizing our thoughts, we have to understand that our thinking has been conditioned, and we've been indoctrinated to by several factors: social standards, stereotype standards, statistical standards, satanic standards. All of these influence our thinking, cause us to think certain ways. You have to take charge of your thinking. You have to, on purpose, take charge of your thinking. And that's something that's still under all our control. We can choose to think differently from how we have been previously conditioned to think. And so, let's go to the next one. Next slide. Yeah. The dynamics of thinking. Cluttered thinking is thinking that is scattered, disconnected, and fragmented, which makes planning and learning difficult and produces frustration and overwhelm, and obscure thinking, cluttered thinking. And that's what you don't want to be. You don't want to be a cluttered thinker, a person that has got so much fragmented thoughts, so much you're trying to keep on your mind that you cannot process it properly. Correct thinking is thinking that is, it's the renewed mind based on principles and the Word of God. When I'm a correct thinker, I think and function according to principle. Now, y'all have been hearing me teach on principle, but that's critical, that I'm a principle-thinking person, principle-driven person, because when I am, I do things the same way all the time. Regardless of what it is, regardless of the area, I do it the same way all the time. And one thing we established early in construction that we'd never violate is I never talk to the contractors about what they're doing. Only Larry talks to them. So they can't come and play a game with us and say somebody changed the assignment, because they would do that. I can be on the job site and the guy turn around and ask me, I tell him go talk to Larry. Now, why do we do that? Because we understand the principle. You got it? If we keep one man in charge, you're going to keep down confusion. So even though I know what to tell him, I'm not going to violate that, because once it's violated, then you open the door for a whole lot of other things. So when anybody ever come and tell Larry, well, Pastor told me, oh, no, because Larry not going to always talk. And I will even see a situation and say, Larry, you need to talk to so-and-so about this. I mean, I can be standing there looking at it. And I said, call him, Larry, yeah, so-and-so, he's hanging his paper in the wrong place. You need to talk to him about it. And I've had times where I took him and give him the phone. Larry on the phone, talk to you. No, I'm saying you got to stick with it. You're going to start away. You got to stick with it. All right? So correct thinking is thinking based on principle. Concrete thinking is thinking that considers both the natural facts and the spiritual truth of a situation. I'm a concrete thinker when I'm balancing the natural and the spiritual. Because we're spiritual people, we can never discount the spiritual. We can never throw away moral righteousness in what we do. Everything we do has to be tempered by moral truths and righteousness. So the world can do some things we can't do. We got to do it right. I think me and Malachi was there, we had a court case once, and we could have doctored our stuff up. We could have doctored our stuff up and went in there and probably made a better presentation. But we couldn't. Because of our moral standards, we couldn't. That manager had not properly documented the violations of that employee. We couldn't go back and redocument the books. Couldn't do it. But we have to uphold righteousness. Otherwise, we can't expect God's help. You follow me? And not only can I expect God's help, then we're not the Church of Jesus Christ anymore. We just gonna do anything hook and crook to get by. Okay. Control thinking is thinking that disciplines me to new process. In other words, control thinking is thinking that chooses to change to do something different. And that is control. A control thinker is a person who says, okay, I used to do it this way, but now I'm going to do it another way. Beyond control thinking is critical thinking. And critical thinking is thinking that sees beyond the moment. And this is where I got to get everybody. I stress for everybody, not trying to get everybody, but I stress this more than anything, that you become a critical thinker, that you see beyond the moment so that you carefully plan for the future. Cause and effect. What happened? Why did it happen? Let's examine this moment. And that's why many times when I'm dialoguing with managers and they've made a mistake and they want to fix it and go on, and I go, no, we're not ready to go on yet. Let's process the moment. Why did it happen? Because if we can process the moment and find out why it happened, where the misunderstanding was, we won't make that mistake again. So it's not like I'm trying to beat a dead horse. And I know sometimes, you know, well, let's go. No. We're going to go on, but I'd rather take the time to deal with this thoroughly now so we don't have to face it anymore. And that's thinking critical, cause and effect. Creative thinking is thinking that produces new realities. It's being able to see what others don't see. It's not bound. And creative thinking is the thinking that gets outside the box. It's the thinking that does this, that challenges how things have been done in the past. Just because it's been done that way in the past doesn't mean that's the only way to do it. You got it? Just because someone said it costs X number of dollars, that doesn't necessarily mean that's what it costs. So I've got to be creative in at going through. We're doing something right now with our curtains. We're putting some curtains over in over at the east location so that we can bring the auditorium down to about 2,500 as we start. Well, first bid we got was $150,000. $150,000. And we'll probably end up with what, less than 50? Around 50? Yeah. But somebody's going to take us for 100 grand. But we did our homework. We got creative. Wait a minute. Somebody else puts those curtains up. Somebody makes those curtains. So Doris got on the phone, found the curtain maker. Then we found, we just started doing our own homework. And we end up saving the ministry money. I think we first got the jet. Somebody first got the Hawker. We had a fuel situation. And you remember that? Yeah. And I think the first bid on that was, what, $100,000? And we got it done for like $17,000 in Dallas. And that's because you got to get to the point where just because somebody tells you something, you don't stop there. And you've got to be innovative. And I, you know, as I look around, we've gone through a situation with a lot of people in the room. Just because they say it's one way doesn't mean it has to be that way. And when you break out of that mold of just going by what folks say, you'll be amazed at how much you will save the ministry and how much you will save, you know, the kingdom of God. And then, of course, it spills over into your own life. You start saving things for yourself. Because when things start happening in your life, you go, no, that ain't the way it's got to be. You follow me? Now, when I was talking about, give Doris a brownie for now. When I was talking about saving your salary, you got it? So when you, see, I knew Doris said, see that, there you go. So when I'm talking about that, it's those kind of things that when you do, you go, okay, we've made a savings. Got it? I think when I had Tanya was negotiating some stuff out here for the pool and stuff. And Tanya learned to negotiate and that sort of thing. She able to save this money. You got it? All that adds up over a period of time. Yes, that's how you save the company. That's how you save us your salary. By getting better deals, not stopping at the first deal. You got it? Being creative in your thinking is critical. That's better ways to do everything. And you can't get so stuck in doing something one way that you just become a robot and just doing it that way. And you're not innovative. Things are changing. Technology is changing. And I have to trust that every person in their own field is going to stay on top of their game to find out the best way to do everything. And then courageous thinking is thinking which distinguishes you from the crowd because you're not afraid to make a decision. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that is, okay. The courageous thinker is the person who moves from planning to action. Let's make it happen. And once I've pretty much given you the go-ahead, I expect you to make it happen. But there's a tendency, especially when you're charting new territory, there's a tendency to want to have me safeguard you by checking you. And I don't have time to check you. I already told you how much I got on my plate. So I have to have enough confidence in that you got it, you understand principle, you understand how you want to do it. Now, handle it. You got it? And, you know, and for the most part, you know, we found everybody able to do it. And I'll get to them when people get to the point where they try to put something back on my plate, I put it right back on their plate. I mean, over time, I think when Reynolds, I think, called me, trying to get their vacation schedule together. And so-and-so going to be here. So I said, look, man, don't be calling me with that. Y'all get together. Enough of y'all down there to handle all the preaching y'all need to handle. Don't be calling me with that. I ain't going to be getting involved in trying to get to Reynolds' point. Reeve over that point that Reynolds said it was his fault. I ain't going to get into that. Who going to go here? Who going to go there? I ain't got too much to do from that. But that's the point. Being taking the initiative to make it happen. You got it? I'll carry you along with, we was doing our newspaper, and we got a beautiful newspaper coming out. I think we'll get it printed today. And it's the largest printing we've ever done. We've never done, was 300 and how many? 350,000 copies. We've never done that many copies, ever. So we've gone through it because we're going to saturate the whole area, and it's going to be in the Houston Chronicle and those areas and all. This goes through. But when it was developing it, we got to the point where I went, okay, I'm through. It wasn't the product wasn't finished, but I've carried y'all far enough. Now y'all just get it done. Well, you need to see this. I don't want to see that. Go on and do it. You got it? And it's that courageous step to say, okay, I'm going to take responsibility for it. And it was a $50,000 project. You know? You got it? And you got to understand that that's what leaders do. That's what leaders do. Leaders are willing to take that step of saying, okay. And you got to do it in your area. You know, our daycare center is great. I expect it to stay great. You know, what I know about daycare centers is 20 years old. Last time I studied a daycare center. I haven't the slightest idea what they're supposed to do with daycare center now. You understand? Well, we expect our managers, our leaders, to stay on top of it, so we'll stay on the cutting edge. We had a situation with our lights in the superstructure, and you know, I had to cut out underneath there and put all those lights in there, and then we called in a lighting specialist. I said, "Y'all got too many lights in here," and then he said something. He said, you light your auditorium based on a concept that's 20 years old. He's right. Because 20 years ago, I studied it. But it was because Morris brought the guy in. And, you know, I'm open to listen to his concept. He said, all these lights, I don't need them. I can put a light here, a light here, a light here, and a light there. And I can eliminate all of it. I say, you said okay. But, you know, It's beyond, lighting concepts have changed. The guy put those, six lights in there? And eliminated what, about 12, 13, 15 lights? 16. Huh? 16. He eliminated 16 lights? But we never would have known that, you follow me? If somebody didn't think creatively and say, okay, this may not be the best way to do it. Let's get the information. And that's where you all have to come in at. You got to come in where you've got to. You can't wait for me to prompt you to do it. You have to get out there and do it. Got it? And, you know, I can applaud a lot of people around here. You know, our vocational Bible school is really getting ready to. Now, it was because Joseph began to knock on some doors that then we found out, Chester in this room. No, I can't say it. I can't say it. I can say it like this. I can say it like this. I don't have to name. I can just put it in generalities. Okay. A vocational school in town wants to partner with us. You follow me? But that never would have happened if Joseph was sitting there waiting for me to give her every little line and every little thing. You got it? In fact, I was on my computer checking some things out and thought about it and called her and said, hey, Josie, so-and-so. She said, I'm working on that already. In fact, that's what she told me. They want to partner with us. I said, what you say? But that's the thing that has to happen in everybody's area. You can't get to the point, because you're not just a worker, you're a manager, you're a leader. You got to stay on top of the game. The only way New Life's going to stay on top is you stay on top. Got it? All right. Next slide. I'm going to preach with this on Sunday. Okay. Organizing your work area. Can I get a witness? Okay. Organizing your work area occurs when you follow a very simple principle. And the principle is this: a place for everything and everything in its place. A place for everything and everything in its place. You need to organize your work area, you mean your office area, and your desk. That's going to be one of our tasks. Okay. Got a few claps here. Next slide, please. Time management is never glamorous work, but it's the result of people who are choosing to do what it takes to organize their lives. So when we're talking about organizing your task, here's what has to happen to organize our task. We have to use the tool. Make a list of your day. Now, I do this on a regimented basis. I normally will do this the night before, that I'm gonna make a list of what my day or my week's activities are supposed to be. Got it? I sort them by priority. What do I have to get done today? When I do that sorting, I understand some things I may not be able to get done today, and I have a plan of where I can use this more efficiently. Then I'll assign it to another day, but I write it down in my planner. And then I might ask you all this. Would you all like for me to have a person from Franklin to come and train you all on handling Franklin Planner? Okay. Now here's what you're asking for. Because if I do that and invest the money, and you don't use your planner, after I've invested the money and the training and all that sort of thing, then there will be consequences. And I haven't thought of those consequences yet. So I'll come up with the consequences and then ask y'all if y'all want to do it. Because I'm not going to waste the kingdom's money. I have a person come over here and do all the training and supply y'all with everything. And then I come and ask you a question and you go, and I go, where are your planner? See, I get real hot then. You might get some volume. Okay. So I determined the time frame required to complete each priority, because that's how I'm going to plan my day. That's how much focus time I got to have that day. It may be 2 hours, maybe 3 hours. I know how much focus time I have to have, especially on those priority items. So then I schedule the work according to those priorities. What do I have to get to? And I'm going to get to that first. I'm going to make those phone calls first. The focus get first. After that, everything else just kind of falls in place. I use this to monitor unexpected daily commitments. When things come up, other people call me, people want me to do things, then if I haven't got my focused things done, then I'm not free to do them. I'm not free to talk to certain people. Some certain long-winded pastors, they long-winded. And I already know they long-winded when they call me. Well, I tell him, hey, doc, you need to call me back because I can't talk to you right now, because I already know he'll steal two or three, he'll steal at least 30 minutes. He'll steal a good 30 minutes easy. You got it? So, but I'm planning my day. My day is not just, I'm not just running from one thing to another. I got my day planned. I reschedule items that I'm not able to complete. That is, let's say an emergency comes up, okay? Well, if an emergency comes up, you got to handle the emergency. If I got to do something that I had not planned to do that day, which means some of the focus items can't get done, then at that time, I'd call either my secretary or somebody and say, okay, would you call so-and-so and tell them I can't get to them today, I'll get to them tomorrow, or I'll get to them for the end of the week. I complete items with a sense of purpose and fulfillment. That's and I got this thing where I draw the line through it. Do you understand? After I've done it, bam, I draw the line through it, and that's like, yeah, I'm complete. I'm making progress. So using this milestone method. Now, if you were in one of those professional, you know, classes, they call this the milestone method. Do you understand? Using this milestone method, it gives me a sense of completion. I mean, a fulfillment and a sense of accomplishment when I'm dealing with things, and it keeps things from falling through the cracks, because when I got something on my plate, I have it written down. You got it? Now, hearing all this is good. And what time are we supposed to eat? 12:30. Okay. Okay, because I want to have a question and answer on this, and then we'll eat. Is that okay with everybody? Okay, and they have real good food today. I won't say it on the tape because I don't want to make the people on the tape feel bad. Yes. All right. Hearing all this is good, but unless you commit, you don't have to commit to this, but a process. That's my whole point. A process whereby you organize your day. By organizing your day, it's not just listing what you have to do, but the time it's going to take you to get it done. Because when you do that, you know how much actual focus time it's going to take you for that day. So now, after you get your focus stuff done that you have to get done that day, then this way I see it, anything I do beyond that, I'm getting a jump on tomorrow. You got it? So I'm able to plan and stay abreast of things. And when I when I go on vacation, I'm still on top of everything I need to be on top of, because I have a system. I've been using this system for, ooh, my Lord. When did I work for Buddy West?
1977.
Since 1977. That's the system I use. Bernie and I used to work at a place, she used to work for me, worked at a place where you could not make errors. Isn't that right, Bruno? You couldn't make them. I mean, it was a computer company that did bookkeeping for other people, and it was called a service bureau. You could not make errors. Serious, you could not. And that was my response. I was operations manager. You could not make an error. An error could cost you megabucks. And the only thing that would safeguard us was process. Doing it the right way, because we catch an error before it hit the door. Because anytime you're dealing with people, you're error prone. But if you got a process that you stick with, and the only time we made errors, the only time an error got out the door was somebody didn't follow process. That's the only time we made errors. And in that industry, I had such a name. I had such a good name of being a dude that was on it, that I was well sought after. Because I had a process. And that's all I'm trying to get you to do. It's not just let your life be, you know, drift from one thing to another, one fire alarm after another. Bring some order to it. And no matter how many things you got on your plate, you can bring order to it. See, I know about what time I have to stop and start on my lessons. I know about it. I know how long it takes me to put together a lesson. Got it? I know what it is. And there's a certain time frame. If I don't stop at that time and start on it, I ain't going to make it. But I'm just that structured and just that organized, so I do it on an ongoing basis. One pastor said to me, he said, "Pastor, I need to learn what you do. You make it look easy." He said, "I know it ain't easy, but you probably have, you made it simple." And that's the point. I said, that's the key. Easy is not the word, but I do simplify it because I'm organized. I'm organized. And that's what I'm going to, if I can drill that into your day, is let's get organized. We're going to do an extreme makeover. I'm jumping ahead of myself. Next week is extreme makeover week. Didn't get no hand claps. I mean, I didn't get a hand clap at all. I got a couple of stares, but no hand claps. No. Okay, extreme makeover. Y'all seen that thing on TV, haven't you? Where they go in and 1 week build an entire house. Well, you're going to go in and next week you're going to organize your whole area. You're going to bring order to your area, a place for everything and everything in its place. You're going to mobilize your staffs to do what you have to do to get your place organized. Got it? Now, for some of you, it's a major task. For some of you, it's not so major. And that is why teamwork is so important. Because, you know, I'm sure that other people would be willing to help you in any way they could to bring your place to your area. You know what I'm saying? But that's next week is Extreme Makeover Week. Your enthusiasm overwhelms me. We are now ready for question and answer. We're now ready for questions. Discussion time. Yes, sir. Oh, I mean, we probably have about 15, 20 minutes of questions and then go wash our hands. It'll be one then. Yeah. They ain't going to ask me any questions when it comes down to eat.
Question, Dr. Hilliard. In organizing your staff, that's a great thing. That's a wonderful thing.
Okay.
I've worked my angels, and they're asking for help too. And you know, I know we have a very broad ministry. We continue to do great things, and I want that excellent thing to be there and all of the things that we do. But it's tough to organize office and make purchase negotiations, and then when you're the person that actually have to go out and do the physical, you just run out of hours, run out of physical strength. What can we do in that area? Because nobody wants to deal with technology. Nobody wants to deal with audio. They run from that. And, you know, some history. No, I can't change my profession. I am. Oh, confession. Oh, yes, ma'am. I do. I always say we have all we need. I just need some help.
And you're doing a good job.
Drawing them out. But we need some help in that area, and certainly if we can work in that to get some people, and I'll take them any way we can get them now. They don't. So my question is, how would you best approach organizing office space, purchase negotiation, and labor within a confines of a work schedule?
Okay. First of all, I think when we talk about extreme makeover, the whole word defines, the extreme defines the effort. It's extreme effort. So extreme means by any means necessary. I first focus on getting my own office organized, place for everything in its place, so that when I do my walkthrough the following week, I will walk in your office and I will see a place for everything and everything in this place. You have to know the place, but you know, a place for everything. So your own area is organized. Got it? Secondly, when it comes to organizing, you need people right now. And you got to work with what you got.
Maybe some of the managers can give him some suggestions.
Well, I mean, you know, I think one time we was trying to hire trained people. You got it? And that's almost non-existent. You got it? So you have to then resort to understanding you're going to have to get you some people. And that's why I say sharp, trainable people, and train them up. And they may be young people, but you need to get you a bunch of them. You got it? And of course, you know, young people, you don't have to pay them much either, you know, because they don't know that. And so it's a training for them. So I think that's the approach I would get. and possibly getting you, since there's so much coordination that has to be done, possibly getting a person to help in that coordination. You follow me? Who could handle the office type work that has to be done? Because right now you're coordinating really five campuses. You got it? So that involves some paperwork now. You got it? And so that would be another option who would help you with the paperwork. Since you can't find people readily to help you in the field, somebody to help you in the office would probably lighten the load. So in my, you know, planning for things to do, I need a job description of what I need that person to do, because I can't hire somebody unless we know what they're going to do. You follow me? And you justify, I have enough sit down in this office, calling this one, arranging this one, to justify a person. Now I'm ready to help you, because that's a tool that you need to get your job done. You follow me? Now, of course, you know, you got one of the guys that would normally help you is on engine reserve right now, Brother Dwayne. And we praise God he's alive, in Jesus' name. But Dwayne's on injured reserve right now. So, you know, I'm sure after Eric gets his thing all done, he wouldn't mind letting you have his guys to help organize it. help move some things around for you, understand? One thing we might want to look at is getting our volunteer area. Where's my volunteer person? To see if she can't give us some volunteers for next week to help move around things and organize things for you. Got it? But that's would be my creative approach at this time. Understanding, okay, we've tried the thing of trying to get trained people. You got it? That hadn't materialized. So now we got to train our own. And they're going to probably be young people, because you need people who are energetic. And I think we tried to say, okay, let's just get somebody. I think you had an older gentleman there. And he just couldn't keep up with you. You got it? And he figured it out, too, and just said, hey, I ain't happy doing this. And I appreciated that about him. Didn't leave the church. Just say, this ain't for me. I ain't happy doing this, and I need to do something else. So I think that's it. That's it. Anybody else got any suggestions to help him?
Was it prophesized?
What's that?
His need.
Oh, yeah. It's been in pulpit and news, New Light News and everything. Somebody,
I was just going to ask about his ministry of helps people. I know that they probably all have jobs, but have you tried to work some of them in a part-time basis, maybe, or pay? I mean, I don't know if that was a consideration, like particularly for events or whatever. Or maybe you're not having a problem for the events. I don't know. I mean, that just might be something to think about. If they've been in ministry of help and already training.
Well, he needs help during the day. The problem you would get if you start paying one person who would normally do it, the ministry helps for an event, you pay that one person, then everybody gonna go, you know, you're gonna pay me for my health ministry too. And so you don't wanna open that can. But anybody else? Got some suggestions for Brother Marks? Okay.
Is there not any contract, subcontract type labor available that has that special, I mean, you know, like a agency or something that maybe specializes in that? I know we're not to specifically hire a person, you want them to be members, but for that technology, I don't know. I'm just asking. Has that been?
I don't know. I thought at one time when Vernon was handling that we were that we sought that, and that didn't work out for us.
But I think right now his biggest need is organizing his office area, which is something that we had never thought of before, that he may need a different kind of person now. I think the scope of it has changed. He may need somebody to help him with his organization and his proposals and organizing his people.
Right.
I mean,
along with the other. We're not
along
saying.
Along with the other, but I'm thinking that that's a whole other dynamic. That he needs another kind of person now.
Right. Okay, next question. on organizing, on our extreme week. We really, you know, I'm really shooting the gun on this extreme work. I'm jumping the gun on it. But next week, we're going to get our areas organized. So you got all weekend to think about it, on your getting your strategy together and doing it with some excitement. Your enthusiasm just overwhelms me. Just, my Lord, I haven't done my job now. I haven't done my job because I haven't. You're not excited about bringing such order into your lives that's going to cause you to have greater productivity, greater time to yourself, eliminate stress. Oh, my God, if you only knew. Think of how much time you waste trying to find something in your office. Y'all just trying to think about helping Mara. Because, okay, so if nobody don't die next week, maybe y'all can go ahead. Nobody don't die, nobody will get sick.
Cross training.
Uh-huh. Cross training.
Oh, yeah.
Look, Mark, you said that. I hear no hand clap. You smiling. You think it's a great idea. I don't think anybody happy on that but you. Maybe you shouldn't have asked for eight. I think you killed it with the eight, Doc. I think. Go on.
When we talk about extreme makeovers, there's usually records and things that are part of making sure that we have good documentation that we've accumulated. And from time to time, we have years of that kind of accumulation. So I guess my question is, do we have areas and the capacity to store records that are part of our history in order to clear for the future productivity that will be a part of our areas? Is there areas with on the premises, or because I got a lot of records and stuff. I have had issues.
Question is, how long should we keep records? But in certain areas, they need to keep their records for a long time.
Well, fine. They just need to be neatly stored. When I'm talking about the extreme makeover,
so
I'm,
he's asking for storage space. So that's Brother Jeff Lewis.
With regard to storage space, there are products that you can scan in the document and eliminate the paper. And you save it on disk and save it on file. And so then we don't have to incur the expense of finding storage or actual physical storage space. And those products are available right now. They have been available for a long time.
All right. At least let's get them boxed up ready for scanning. on the extreme week.
I think there are products where when you produce the product and save it, it saves it in the actual format and letterhead and all of that. So if you ever need to reproduce it, you reproduce it as you did the original document, because that's all you want is the information.
Right. So for stuff that already exists, what he has to do, I think you just need to have it, you just need to organize it and have it neatly. Have it in a neat and orderly place, and a place for everything in its place, wherever that place is. Anybody else that's all excited about our extreme makeover week? Question back in the back.
It wasn't a question. It's a suggestion concerning Brother Morris. Maybe consider getting high school students or young people that's in the teens ministry that maybe have an interest in audio, video, or that particular area, and perhaps maybe cross-train them or prepare them for it, especially like during the summer months or spring break.
Well, see, we have to have certain kind of people too. They all have to fit. I mean, we just can't go out and just get anybody, you know. So we want to make sure that they fit into what we do, lifestyle, temperament, and all that sort of thing.
They would be in the ministry. They would be coming from the ministry. Well, that's still
lifestyle, temperament, and so you know, I think if you're not trying to get them already trained. I think you open up the game then. Open up for male and female. You got it? I think he needs some males to do some things, but I think he takes a female right now to help him out. That's if they're sharp, you know. It's a person who's sharp and learning and can do the things that we need done. I think you have a part-time high school student. How's he do? How does he do? How does he do? Does he stay focused? That's my only concern, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Any managers got any children? Any children want a job? Any high school children? Lord Jesus. Okay. All right. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. You asked if we were excited. We are very excited over here because we are sitting here talking about different things we can do to organize our area. Like, we have access to parents who want to volunteer all the time. So all we do is just call them and say we have some time, we need some things done. We just oversee and they help us. Also, we can ask the staff to help us, and that'll save some money. We won't be paying them for overtime. It'll save us time on projects. We'll know what we have, won't rebuy things that we already have for the school. So that's saving money right there. So I'm saving my salary.
Mark her file. That's it. Mark her file. Yeah. Well, we got about, I think we're going to eat lunch at 1 o'clock. I'm going to, since y'all are not all that enthusiastic about this extreme makeover, y'all need to process it a little bit more. So I think you may be able to process a little bit more, and it will come back in part two and deal a little bit more with the advantages of you being organized. Because we're going to do the extreme makeover. We're going to do this next week. I think we're going to find out, we're going to be able to locate things that we have that we didn't think we'd do. Like she was saying, a lot of things that we just need to find out and get them in their proper place. And I think every area I walk through, and I see a lot of busyness, you know, and a lot of products, a lot of things that show you've been busy. But we need to, you know, practice the principle. If you're not using it, trash it. You know, a lot of people are, you know, kind of like me by nature. I'm kind of a pack. They call them pack rats. I don't want to come to no rat, but you know. But you like don't hate to throw anything away. You got it, and you end up with tons of stuff, and you go back and you know, like if you go in your desk drawer, most stuff in your desk drawer you don't use it. But it's something you thought I'm gonna need this in the future. And the future was 5 years ago, and you still haven't used it. It's traumatizing. It is, but you have to take that step to just say, boom, throw it in the trash. Got it? And your mind says, you're going to need this one, but you have to throw it away. That's an issue. So we're going to break now since y'all don't have any more questions, and we're going to feed y'all this good food, and then we're going to come back. And we're going to deal with the next part, which is going to be time management and problem solving. All right? Yes. Yes, she has a question. All right, we have one question.
Do we have a budget for Extreme Makeover?
When we get to stewardship in the workplace, you'll understand what your budget is. Because I think this is a good time to start saving your salary. Okay. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Now, on a very serious note, if you need file cabinets, that sort of thing, yes. You follow me? Yeah. And you just go find somebody who's got a file cabinet and steal it from them. Y'all stay up there late after hours. Go steal some. Somebody come in next day, there's stuff on the floor. I mean, hey. You know, it is what it is.
But some people are not using their file cabinets, or like they're in the bays, then you can pull those. But don't pull furniture out of the bays without finding out where that furniture is supposed to go.
Well, shouldn't pull anything out there without, you know, right, using a file cabinet. But y'all need to get, you got file cabinets in the bay? We want to use what we have.
And please don't wait till the last minute if you need to order like folders.